So glad to experience worship with you and also to share God's Word with you this morning from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So much in this verse. I want to have an entire message on this verse. Verses 1 and 2 are so important. Again, I encourage you, if you haven't done so, to memorize these two verses of Scripture. And I'm going to share verse 2 this morning. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I depend upon you and the Holy Spirit and the gifts that you have given me to enable me to share your word with your people gathered here today. Lord, I pray that you will help me to preach and teach with clarity and that your people will receive these truths, will commit to living out these truths in their daily lives. May you have your way and your will in our lives, and we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, after a person becomes a Christian, one of the most important questions they can ask is this: Lord, what will you have me to do now? Well, Paul wrote to new believers in Thessalonica, and he said to them, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." Now, that word sanctification is not one that most people use in their daily conversation. So what does it mean? Well, it means that we are set apart from self-centeredness and sin and are set apart unto the Lord to live righteously, to live unto the Lord and in service to the Lord. And this process of sanctification does not happen overnight, but it takes time. Yet I'm sure that all of us, hopefully, have experienced a rapid change in our life after we were saved, but yet there's still much more that has to take place in this transformation of our lives that we're going to read about this morning. Now, the first step in this transformation of life that we're going to talk about this morning is to do what verse 1 says. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And so we begin by saying, Lord, I present myself to you. I wish to worship you. I wish to serve you. I wish to obey you. And having that commitment, you are now ready to do verse 2. To stop being conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And this message is so important. I'm afraid that not many churches these days are preaching about not conforming to this world. And yet, this is something we must be willing to do. And so, I hope you will listen this morning and fully implement what this verse is saying to us today. And the first, there are basically two halves of this verse. The first is this: don't allow the sinful world to mold your life. In verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, that word conformed means to mold or pattern after, especially in our outward selves. Some years ago, Cheryl and I took her mother to the state capitol. And there in the rotunda of the state capitol is a statue of George Washington. The French sculptor that was intent on making this sculpture of George Washington did not want to form this image based on portraits, paintings, but he insisted on actually coming and taking measurements of George Washington, and he actually did a facial mold of George Washington. And it is believed that what he produced is the most accurate likeness of George Washington that we have today. And as we shall see this morning, God wants to fashion and mold your life into the image of Jesus Christ. But this world wants to mold you into anything but a Christian. I mean, they're fine with you being Muslim, Hindu, atheist, it doesn't matter. But as long as you're a Christian, no, not that. But they want to mold you into something different. And so, let's look and see what Paul is saying here. The first is this, don't be conformed, he says, to this world. Well, I suppose that translation conveys a lot of what Paul is talking about here. But in actuality, Paul does not use the word for the world of nature, the earth. He does not use the word cosmos, which is the most common word for world in the New Testament, the organized system of humanity. But rather, he uses the word that is more literally translated, don't be conformed to this age in which we are living. And he has in mind the present evil age in which we are living. The Greek scholar Trench defines that word as all that floating mass of thoughts, opinions, aims, and aspirations which constitutes the worldly atmosphere in which we live. So Paul is referring to the general intellectual, moral, and cultural climate of an era. If you've studied history, if you're aware, if you've been old enough to see the changes that have taken place in the age in which we're living, you know that it's constantly changing and it's constantly fluctuating. A few decades ago, political correctness became a part of the age in which we are living. And we've gone from an age of increasing tolerance of immoral behavior to now demanding that everyone accept and affirm immoral behavior, including homosexuality and transgenderism. We're living in an age where concern for the environment trumps just about everything else. More recently, being woke dominates much of Western society. Have you noticed that they no longer talk about equality, but now they talk about equity of outcomes regardless of personal responsibility? Most of our educational systems, government, and media, and entertainment industry, and even businesses actively promote the changing tides of the era in which we are living. Furthermore, this age is wrapped up in what is temporal. What we see, what we feel, what we experience, it is without forethought of eternal values, but what is present values. If you're more concerned about the world and fitting in with the world, you are a child of the age, this present evil age, and not God's eternal kingdom. And I believe this command, not to be conformed to the age in which we are living is to be applied to churches as well as individual Christians. I certainly believe that churches should adapt to culture. The Apostle Paul adapted to Gentile culture, to Jewish culture, wherever he was ministering. But when it comes to the sinful and godless aspects of culture, we must draw the line, and adaptation is certainly not in order there. Yes, we adapt to technology and so forth, but we must never yield to the temptation of reaching unbelievers by conforming to their beliefs and practices that are morally and theologically contrary to the Word of God and His revealed will. Someone has said the church that marries the spirit of an age becomes a widow in the next generation. And so Paul says, don't be conformed to the changing and fluctuating worldly atmosphere that we find ourselves in. And then he says, be alert to how the world entices conformity. This is more by way of application that I say this. You can determine to what extent you are in conformity to this world by what concerns you, what interests you. Jesus, in Matthew 13:22, warns of those who are wrapped up in the cares of this age. There are three ways that the world wants to mold you into conformity, into seeking after and showing interest in the things of this world. In 1 John 2:15-16, John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possession or pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. When you pursue and give in to any of these things, you are allowing the world to conform you. Let's think further about the applications of this principle. This also means we need to resist the pressure to conform. The verb be conform is passive. That indicates that Christians are under intense pressure from without to conform to the thoughts, goals, and actions of the world. We have witnessed this pressure to conform in the past 2 years with all the mandates that the authorities are imposing upon people. Businesses threatening loss of job if you don't conform with the current thinking of the age in which we are living. We are entering an age of increased pressure to conform. And folks, what I'm witnessing in the United States of America is more of a communist-style conformity pressure compared to what it was some years ago. Furthermore, people generally tend to be copycats. We tend to imitate behaviors and thought patterns that we see and hear. Children, by nature, are imitators. And so people tend to follow the latest fads and trends. I see increasing numbers of Christians who seem to not only think and act like the world, but even talk like the world. About 10 years ago, there was a preacher on the West Coast that thought he was being cool and reaching people by becoming known as the cussing preacher. Well, he's not a pastor anymore, as far as I know. You know, young people, especially, seemed to face great pressure to conform, getting high on alcohol and drugs and engaging in immoral sexual behavior. Increasing numbers are becoming transgender as the latest fad in this present age. People have pointed out that social contagion is a big factor in this trend. And have you noticed that it's becoming increasingly evident even in young children? How young children are imitating, you know, the world in these things, dressing like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world. We're seeing a tendency to sexualize even young children. Folks, I say leave the children alone. Let them grow up in innocence and not have to face what they're facing out in the world today. And why does the world want to pressure us to be like them? Pressure us to conform? I tell you why. Because a godly Christian is an open rebuke to their beliefs and their lifestyle. And they want us to conform. They want us to, if we don't conform, then get out of sight. Don't try to be a part of this society. So what are we to do? We not only need to resist the pressure to conform, but we need to stop thinking and acting like the world. You say, where is that in the text? Well, in their Greek language, it can be translated, stop conforming to this age. Now, who was he writing to? He was writing to the Roman believers who were in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, the seat of the age in which they were living. And, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Have you heard that phrase before? Well, these Christians were under tremendous pressure to conform, especially in the capital of the empire. And so, Paul indeed probably did mean to say, stop conforming to this age in which we are living. Now, when Paul talks about don't conform to this age, this world, you know, he's not saying that we're not to enjoy life in this world. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God has given us richly all things for our enjoyment. There's no need to seek after the sinful pleasures of this world when God has given us spiritual joys. God has given us the joys of family and a church family, fellowship with believers. God has given us pleasures that are ordained of God that are a part of this world, like good food and other pleasures. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you may have life and have it abundantly. God will provide all the love and joy that we need. And again, just because it's a part of this world doesn't mean it should be shunned and not utilized by believers. I happen to like my car. You know, it gets me from Colonial Heights to Mechanicsville in about 35 minutes on the major highways. I'm glad that we don't take not being conformed to the world as far as the Amish do, where, you know, I would have to ride a horse-drawn buggy in order to get here. Now, that's not what Paul is talking about here. But let me share something else. You need to know when to separate from worldly influence. The Bible teaches that the Lord wants us to live in the world. We're just not to be of the world. He wants us to be salt and light. And we can't be salt and light to unbelievers without contact and working where unbelievers work and so forth. Living where they live. However, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, Paul says, quoting the Old Testament, that there are times when you need to come out from among them and be separate. You don't go and worship with unbelievers in the idol temple, he says. You don't go with unbelievers when they're engaging in sinful and ungodly behavior. This means that there are certain parties that Christians should not be going to. There are certain movies that Christians should not be seeing. There is certain music that we should not be listening to. In order to prevent the world from squeezing us into their mold, there needs to be discernment where we know when to separate ourselves from such influences. But you know, we have a situation now where the world is able to bring its influence right into our homes. Not just with television, the internet, videos. They're so available, not only on our computer screens, not only now on our smart TVs that are how many inches wide now, but in the palm of our hand. And now, third graders. If you don't have a smartphone and you're a third grader, fourth grader, you know, you're really out of it. You gotta have it. And so your kids now have the world and its influence right in the palm of their hand. Now how in the world are we Christians going to be able to resist the pressure to conform, to be willing to be separate from the world when the occasion calls for it? It's to take the viewpoint of the Apostle Paul, who said in Galatians 6:14, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Why should I follow the world when it was the world of religion, it was the world of political power that crucified my Lord Jesus Christ? And so we also see some reasons and should reflect on the reasons for not being conformed to this present evil age. Three reasons I'll give you. The first is that the world is dominated by Satan. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the God of this age. In 1 John 5:19, it says that the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. Satan's influence is seen throughout society. How can we conform ourselves to an age and a society that is so dominated by the influence of Satan himself? The world is harmful to us. The world and its influence has literally killed many young people and young adults trying to get high on drugs. Killed in alcohol-related car crashes. Just go to the major cities and you'll see what Jesus refers to in John 10, that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, this world is destructive. Not just physically, but certainly spiritually. Have you heard of Demas? Demas was actually a missionary associate of the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And furthermore, we should not conform to this world because Christ died to rescue us from this evil age in which we're living. That's what he says in Galatians 1:4. If Christ came to rescue us from this present evil age, then why should we embrace it? Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. That's the first appeal. Well, if we're not going to be like the world and the age in which we're living, what should we be like? Well, that's what the second half of this verse is about. Start allowing God to transform your life into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Paul says in the middle of verse 2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Instead of being conformed, be transformed, he says there in that verse. When you become a Christian, there ought to be a progressive and clear transformation of your life from the person you were to the person that God wants you to become. More Christ-like each and every day. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, be transformed? That word is metamorpheo in Greek. We get our word metamorphosis. It's to be changed from the inside to one form to another. Just as a caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly, even so, God wants to dramatically transform your life. But it takes place from the inside. Who you are as a born-again believer on the inside should be manifest on the outside. The same verb is used of the transformation of Jesus Christ. Now, normally, His deity was veiled. It was hidden by His human flesh. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, who He truly was on the inside became fully manifest on the outside so that those gathered on that mountain could see His deity, His glory. Yes, transformation. It's a continual process until God calls you home or until Jesus comes again and instantly transforms you completely. You are to undergo this transformation. So every day, your goal as a Christian should become to be transformed, changed completely, including your outward life, your outward conduct. Well, how does this take place? It takes place in a partnership between you and God. The word be transformed is also passive. You cannot transform yourself. Transformation first is a work of God. It's something God does in you by His Holy Spirit and by His Word. In fact, Titus 3:5 talks about the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Yet the focus of the Apostle Paul here is on one primary means of transformation. He says in verse 2 that you are transformed by the renewal of your mind. This transformation is not automatic. It takes place as you cooperate with the Spirit of God in transforming your mind by the Word of God. Now, this world wants to program your thinking. The world wants you to seek after what it seeks after, but we are to allow God and His Word to reprogram our minds, to seek after the things of God. If you look at Ephesians 4:23 and 24, he gives a similar concept, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to become like God. We are to become like Christ in righteousness and holiness. And it begins with repentance, which is a change of mind. That's the first step, becoming a believer, born again, and then continuing this process of transformation of mind. Colossians 3:10 says that we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Now there's the key of the transformation of mind, is the right kind of knowledge. And where do we get this right kind of knowledge? Not from the world, but from the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God and obtain new standards of righteousness, new attitudes, new goals, new aspirations. And once your mind is changed, then your behavior is changed. See, the focus of Christianity is not just changing your outward behavior, but changing your mind that will lead to the outward changes in behavior. And folks, we need to realize that our minds need to be transformed and renewed. You see what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, "Now this I say to you and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, the spiritual ignorance in them." Why do we listen to the world? Really? This is God's statement of His evaluation of the mental thought processes that dominate our world. In Isaiah chapter 55, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Yes, especially if we have grown up outside of a Christian environment, it's even a greater need to experience this renewal of our mind as quickly as we can. And folks, there are patterns of thinking that we had before we were Christians that are deeply ingrained and will take time to reverse those patterns of thinking. But that absolutely is important. We've got to reprogram our minds to where we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Learning the Word of God is absolutely essential. That's why we encourage you to attend Bible study. That's why we encourage you to attend worship services where you will hear the Word, not only in preaching, but also in song, the songs that we sing. Beginning at the age of 16, I started reading my Bible. I was challenged by some Christian young people in some of my beliefs that I had from a liberal pastor in a liberal church. And so I wanted to read the Bible, honestly, to prove them wrong. I was going to find all the contradictions and so forth. And the more I read the Bible, the more the Word of God began to transform my thinking. I was transformed. I began to grow as I read and studied the Word of God. And I must also point out that the commitment not to conform to the world goes hand in hand with solid interpretation and exposition of the Word of God. Vodi Balcom says, I will not violate the teaching of the text in order somehow to sound more appropriate for the culture. Are you going to allow your interpretation of Scripture to be culturally driven? Or are you going to allow the text to drive what the Bible and the Word of God says? And notice also, this is important because we need to know where we're heading in this process of renewal of our mind, and that is the goal of this transformation. If you look back at what I preached fairly recently in chapter 8, verse 29, you know that God's purpose is ultimately to conform you to the image of Christ. And this process of conforming you to the image of Christ is not just to take place way out there, but it is to begin to take place now. We are to live righteously like Christ. We are to live lovingly like Christ, who went about doing good and showing love and ministering to people. The goal is to become like Christ. 1 John 2:6 says that we are to walk as He walked. So learn all you can about Christ. Pattern your life after Him. Ask, what would Jesus do in this situation? So I've shared some reasons why you should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, why should you do that? Paul gives a very good reason in the last part of this verse, where we see the end result of this renewal. He says there that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to ask you a question. What is your attitude toward the will of God for your life? Is the will of God something you know and have learned? Is the will of God something that you resist or something you embrace? Well, if you experience transformation by the renewal of your mind, then what Paul says in the last of verse 2 is going to be the result. Now, I happen to disagree with the ESV translation here. And let me give you the gist of what I think Paul is saying here. That as you experience this transformation of mind, then the result is going to be that you not only learn God's will, but you approve of God's will for your life. You see, that word translated testing also means to test in order to determine its genuineness and its value. The same meaning is found in Romans 2:18, where Paul says to the Jew that you know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. And so as you go through this process of transformation by the renewal of your mind, you learn God's will and you, by experience, approve and embrace God's will for your life. You're no longer fighting it. You're no longer resisting it. But if you have learned, as Paul says, that it is good. It is good for you. It is best for you. It is acceptable. It is perfect for your life. You reach the point where you embrace God's will and are no longer resisting God's will. Does that describe you? That you have reached the point in your Christian life that you embrace God's will, that you agree it's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. Thomas Aquinas said this, "A man's heart is right when he wills what God wills." So if you're going to be a Christian that pleases God, you got to stop trying to conform to the spirit of the age. You got to not seek after the things of this world, but the things of God and His kingdom and His righteousness. You need to experience this transformation of life by the Word of God. Learn it. Allow the Word of God to change your thinking. Seek after the things of God. Live by the principles of the Word of God. And you will experience a true transformation of life. Where are you today? Have you even gotten to that first step of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? If not, we invite you to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. To what extent have you been transformed by the renewal of your mind? Well, I can tell you to what extent. It's whether or not you now embrace God's will for your life is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then you will have opportunity to respond to this message in your own heart, as God leads you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that Christ came to rescue us from this present evil age with all of its detrimental and harmful influences. Lord, I thank You for the good things that are a part of this world that we can enjoy. Give us discernment, Lord, to know what is of You and what is wrong and inappropriate for us as believers. And Lord, help us to experience the kind of transformation of life that people will even notice that there's something different about us from so many other people, Lord. And may we be witnesses that lets our light shine. May we be salt and light in this world. And Lord, as we now enter into this moment of personal commitment, may You hear the prayers of Your people.